see so many here to hear the word of God. Those who follow know this lectern is very flimsy. I want to read in the book of Romans this afternoon. And I want to start with chapter 3 and verse number 9. Romans chapter 3, verse number 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that all are under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Beloved, there is a portrait of us, each and every one, that God has been pleased to place within his work. It shows what a condition we are in, or were in, for so many of us. We were sinful indeed. Come back to chapter 1. With such a history of wickedness and ungodliness and evil, verse 18 of chapter 1 says this: For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You and I by nature are sinners. We are suitable for the wrath of God because of our condition. God sees our hearts as they truly are in our condition. And he has recorded in his word that his attitude towards such, because he is holy, is that his wrath must fall upon such. As a result of sin, we know that death is passed upon all. That is a fair sentence upon those who have deliberately fallen short and transgressed against the God of heaven. But what is God's response to those who are in such a condition, who are under the very judgment and condemnation of his wrath? Is that where he leaves us? What is his attitude to such? Let's look at verse number 17 of this chapter. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. God has a standard when he deals with people of righteousness. And he would be quite righteous in connection with verse number 18 to extend his wrath to those who are doing unrighteous and ungodly things. But that righteousness, come over to chapter 3 and we'll see it again. But now in verse 21, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That righteousness that God has, a standard of justice, of being just and right and fair and equitable. That standard God has applied in extending out toward us His righteousness. He's imputed it to us. We now are found in a place of acceptance before God through faith, as we learn. You see what God has done to those who are worthy of His wrath. He's brought them into a place of acceptability. Come over to chapter 5. Verse number 6. When we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Again, a reference to our state. But God has not left us there. He has shown us a grace, a kindness. He has sent His Son to die for us, ungodly ones. What a kindness it was that God had showed toward us. Those who were without strength, ungodly and lawless, couldn't help ourselves. Here is one who came and rescued us, plucked us from the jaws of hell indeed, because of His grace toward us, His kindness toward us. Come down to verse number 8. God commended His love toward us. Here is another attribute of our God. That while we were sinners, falling short, Christ again has come and died for us. You see, there is no room for us who have fallen short to make it up to God. He must do the work that we might enjoy the love that He has toward us. The love that He has shown in commending to us is a divine love. A love that does not work on the basis, do I like that person or not? His love is supreme. It stays through whatever the object of His love. He extends it fully to that object, you and I, unworthy ones. That is God's love. Come down to verse number 10. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Enemies, now reconciled. Reconciled how? By the death of His Son. Each of these three attributes have been revealed in the death of His Son. Reconciled. God reconciles us. We don't reconcile God to us. It's the other way around. God has reconciled us, enemies, haters of Him, turning our back upon Him, going our own way. Yet God, in His mercy, has sent His Son to be the Savior and to reconcile. The difference between grace and mercy has been put this way. The grace of God deals with a penalty of my sin. The mercy of God deals with the pain of my sin. One who is a sinner is pained indeed. Come over now to chapter 16. Verse number 2. It's referring to one person, but we'll take it as referring to anyone here today. To receive her in the Lord as become a saint. Once we were sinners, once we were enemies, haters of God, but God through Christ and through our faith in Christ has made us now saints. We don't put saint in front of our name. A saint in the scriptures is one who has been set apart by God for God. A saint is one who's devoted to that God, his God. It has the thought of sharing in the nature of God, the purity of God, the holiness of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the righteousness of God. And that which would attract the wrath of God in anyone because of their ungodliness, the connection with that is now gone. The verse says, receive in the Lord as becometh a saint. Receive, accept, embrace, warmly welcome. We've had a warm welcome today from the believers here at Mornington and over this weekend. See how that God has translated us from a kingdom of darkness to a kingdom of light. Come over now to chapter 15 and verse number 7. Receive ye one another. This comes down to us each and every one. As Christ also received us. We have sought to show how God through Christ has received us each one. And four of the attributes that have been displayed in that receiving. Now the very practical word comes down. We've got to do it to one another. Show those four attributes that we've mentioned. Now there are many more attributes of God, I know, but I'm just concentrating on these four at the moment. Because it's to one another. Now this another is another of the same kind, another of the same nature. In the scriptures you find two meanings for that word. The other being is another of a different kind. This another means another of the same kind. My relationship with another must be on the basis, must be equal to as Christ has received me, the sinner. Let's now go back to chapter 12. How do I do this receiving? What have I got to do to make sure I'm doing it to the standard as Christ received me? Chapter 12 begins a practical part of the epistle to the Romans. I beseech you in verse number 1, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what God requires in each of us, me and you. He wants us to be walking before him according to his will, but we're going to touch upon the fact that according to that will, there has to be a walking with our fellow brethren here upon this earth. Let's look then at some of these practical things that we can do to show our relationship with one another. Turn to verse number 5 of this chapter. What does it say in that verse? Everyone are members one of another. We have a common bond. Because we have all been received, those who have trusted the Saviour, by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are members of the same body. And we can go to other verses to find out what that relationship is and how we should think about that. But we've got to be conscious of the fact that we are members in one body, members of one another. We are not an island. We are not loners. We are members one of another. Come down to verse number 10. How is my attitude to be shown to another? Verse number 10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. I've got to have a kind affection for another. That does not mean that I hate him. That does not mean I despise him. That means I love him with a brotherly love. A true brotherly love. Not just a formal love or a duty, a love of duty. It's a brotherly love. It's a close love because it's born of a relationship, a common relationship in our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, in the second part of the verse it says, in honor, we've got to prefer one another. How do I prefer my brother? I honor him by giving him precedence. I haven't done that by being first today. I don't put myself as preeminent. I defer to him. I respect him as better than myself. That is how one another should deal with one another. Come down to verse number 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not things but high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. The same mind should be focused on the same object. That what makes it the same mind, if one another are focused on the same object. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ. We are focused on him, as we have already confessed this day, looking to him. So, my attitude toward one another is not going to be marked by condescension. It's not going to be marked by partiality. It's going to be marked by a fairness and a humility, as we have heard today. That is how I'm going to deal with another, especially my brother. Come over to chapter 13 and verse number 8. We are to owe no man anything, but to love one another. For he that loveth one another hath fulfilled the law, the royal law. We've got to love one another with the same love that has been shown toward us, the divine love. That does not make my love depending on what the other person does or says. My love has a standard of concern and affection for that other person. Love one another. It cannot, again, be a matter of duty or a matter of favor or partiality. It has to be the same love that has been shown to us as sinners that we show to one another. In other words, I suppose we've got to look at it this way. We've got to show ourselves as being in debt of love to others. verse turn to chapter 14, verse number 13. Therefore, let us not judge one another. But judge this rather. In other words, judge yourself. I'm not going to say further on that because Brother Clive is going to cover it more adequately later in the week in its context. Verse number 19. Let us therefore follow after the things that make for peace, things which may edify one another. We all desire peace and peaceful conditions. But my attitude toward another is this. I've got to edify the other person. Now, edify means build up. The opposite of build up is to pull down. So we are not in our attitude to destroy our brother or pull him down or pull him apart. We are to treat him in a way that will edify him, build him up. Love would always do that. Think better of another than themselves. Esteem other better than themselves. And that's what the Word of God would draw our attention to. That we've got to build up one another. And of course, if that is the case, the result of that would indeed, in fact, be peace. Come to chapter 15 and verse number 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another. Like-minded. This has the idea of thinking. Yes, we've got to be a thinking people. We've got to think and understand that we have a common nature, that we have a common bond, that we're bound together. And then the action that follows from that will be according to that understanding, that we will treat another correctly in what we do and say. Come down to verse number 14 of chapter 15. At the end of the verse it says, we've got to be able to admonish one another. This is not to beat one another. This is not to ruin one another. Or be angry at one another. This is to admonish. Admonish means to instruct or help the other person. Be a helper to them, especially when they have a difficulty, especially when they just don't quite know what to do. We've got to admonish one another. I felt that there was an element of that yesterday when we were doing our Bible reading. The various contributions were like helping one another to understand the verses that we were reading. Although there perhaps were different views, but we were helping one another. And that's the idea of admonishing, helping and instructing one another in this good book. Now, what will the effect of instruction and helping do? It will enable growth. My brother will grow as a result of his connection with me, of his dealing with me. Isn't that what we'd like with each other? Not pull them down and stunt. We would like each other to grow. Come to verse number 60, chapter 16 and verse 16. Salute one another. The idea of salute is to greet one another with an embrace, a warm embrace. Here, salute one another with a holy kiss. That teaches me this. that holiness becometh the children of God. And even in a greeting or an embrace, there has to be a standard of purity and chasteness. We've left the world behind in the way they do it. One another, the standard is with a holy kiss, with a holy standard. What we have sought to do this afternoon is simply this. We've tried to show what we were by nature, till God came in and rescued us and translated us from a kingdom of darkness to a kingdom of light, and turned us from a sinner to a saint. It was all the work of God in the display of His righteousness, His grace, His love, and His mercy. We then looked at the standard that is required for those who are saints, one another. And we've looked at some of the steps and the things that we need to take note of so that we might truly reflect the character of saints that God has made us. My closing comment is this, verse number 7 of chapter 15. I read, receive ye one another as Christ also received us. He has received us. We've got to treat one another exactly as the Lord Jesus Christ has received us. But what is the objective? For the glory of God. May we ever seek that glory till travelling days are done.